Hi there, I'm John Avery Whittaker, but most folks call me Whit. We're getting ready for a time of wonder and excitement. We'd love to have you join us for another Adventure in Odyssey.
Hello, I'm Dave Arnold, executive producer of Adventures in Odyssey.
And I'm Paul McCusker, writer and director for the show. And we're taking a break from our regular format to bring you a special podcast dedicated to our friend Paul Herlinger.
Now, if you follow the podcast, then you know that on February 2nd of 2010, Paul passed away at the age of 81. Paul played the role of Whit for 13 years, from 1996 until his retirement in 2008.
When Paul first stepped into the role, he ended our two-year search for John Avery Whittaker.
Wait a minute. How could you possibly know that I have a black leather wallet that was given to me as a Christmas present?
Well, because I gave it to you.
What? But it's not possible.
Hi, Eugene. It's good to see you again.
Mr. Whittaker.
The first thing I remember is when they told us that they had another Whit, and I was thinking, oh, we'll see. And then we started talking, and it felt so great, like, oh, Whit has come back. And I was super relieved to have somebody on Whit's microphone because it'd been a long, long time since anybody had been there.
Connie?
What? Oh! Oh, Whit!
Oh, Connie. Connie. Oh. Where have you been, little girl?
Oh. You know me. Always late.
Oh, Connie.
But, I'm here now.
Yes. And I'm finally home.
Welcome home, Whit!
What in the world is... This is for me?
Considering what he was coming into, following in the footsteps of Hal Smith and an established character, I remember his coming in being very easy. And if he suffered any trauma trying to come in, he didn't betray it because he was always so professional.
Whit! Whit!
Bernard, how are you?
Whit, you old globe-trotting scallywag, are you ever a sight for sore eyes? Welcome home, Whit.
Oh, thanks, Bernard.
Hi, my name's Jonathan Crow, and I'm one of the sound designers with Adventures in Odyssey. Well, I remember the first time that I met Paul Herlinger, and Dave and Paul were chatting back and forth, and as I listened to them talk, I thought, this guy is Whit whether he's on mic or off mic.
The family feeling among the actors, all of us actors, was certainly what helped me through the transition from being an outsider to being an insider, and that is walking in where Hal left off. And that was somewhat daunting, but it was the feeling that this had been a family before. It continues to be a family of performers. The camaraderie that was there helped me through those early recording sessions. And it made me feel like I was being accepted.
The man we've all been waiting for, John Avery Whittaker!
Hi, I'm John Fornoff. I was one of the writers and directors for Adventures in Odyssey. It's interesting, Paul was a lot like Whit. How I picture Whit, the kindness, the graciousness, and the wisdom. And that's a lot like Paul.
When I first heard my father playing the part of Whit, my first reaction was that he's not taking on some completely different persona here at all. This sounds like my dad.
I think Will Ryan said it best once that
Hal was the grandfather everybody wanted, and Paul was the father anybody would want.
He was a good dad, and he shaped me and influenced me in many ways throughout my life that I am very grateful for.
Paul was just that sort of man's man, and he just made the role of Whit very friendly and very comfortable.
Hi, this is Chris. I have some really sweet memories of Paul. He was always kind to everybody. He always had something sweet to say.
And he took his role of Whit very seriously. Before he'd go in the studio, he'd pre-read a script. He'd look it over, he'd know it, he'd ask questions.
Hi, this is Nathan Hubler, and I'm a writer for Adventures in Odyssey. Paul was an actor who was very attentive to direction. He was very concerned about getting what the director wanted.
Hi, this is Rob Jorgensen. I was a sound designer for Odyssey, and One of the things that endeared me to Paul early on when I first started recording with him was his willingness to make changes on the fly in the studio. He was very kind and gracious.
Paul was so genuine and so good and so talented and so happy to be involved with the show that it was a real joy to work with him.
When you walk into the studio, it has a warmth about it. It feels like you're back home. And Paul was the heart of that.
Paul was just such a gentleman.
He was a gentleman.
He also was a gentleman.
He was a true gentleman.
Paul was such a gentleman, whether he was in the studio or out of the studio.
He was a craftsman. He wasn't a celebrity. He didn't perceive himself that way, I don't think.
My dad has always been a gentle spirit, a warm and loving spirit, and one who just genuinely sees the good in people. You know, those qualities are why he was a perfect person to play Whit.
He was so humble in many respects that it was easy to talk to him and easy to relate on all levels, whether it was family or work or writing, or to talk about literature or talk about theater. I know he loved old-time radio.
Of course, I was born in 1929 and lived through my early years listening to nothing but radio. There was no television. And I was intrigued by radio. In fact, as a kid, I was sure that all these people I was listening to were all sitting there in that little box.
Paul had a lot of experience as a voiceover person and also as an actor. And he would tell us about working in radio in the old days. He would reminisce back about those days. Paul also did a lot of work for PBS. In fact, you'll see some documentaries about trains and that kind of thing that Paul was a narrator for.
There's something romantic about a train. To hear the horn blast the air like a herald's trumpet, announcing something powerful is about to come your way. To see the rush and blur of color, steel, and wheels. To feel 12,000 tons of thunder rumble the earth under your feet. To sense a connection with our heritage, the steam trains of our past that grew a young America.
One of the interesting dynamics of Paul in the studio is that his background was such that he, because he'd done documentaries and so many of those different kinds of things as well, he knew when things needed to move forward. So because there's such a camaraderie in the studio with actors and in between scenes, you know, Will breaks out his ukulele and starts singing, and Paul would just sit in his chair and wait patiently, and then all of a sudden just say, okay, let's move forward, let's keep going. And it shows, again, the character of Whit's leadership in the show that Paul emulated so perfectly.
Well, he had a real background in production, and so he appreciated what we did in production, and of course that spoke to us, you know, and he often said to us, what a great job you guys do producing this show.
Your sound designers are so good. They are so good at creating a real scene, at creating every part of a scene besides just the actors in the scene, to create the atmosphere of the scene, to create the surroundings of the scene, to create the environment of the scene.
When he said something, he meant it. He didn't fluff it up. He didn't schmooze or flatter. He just told you like it was. And so when Paul gave you a compliment, it meant something. It really came from his heart.
There was an awful lot of fun in between doing scenes. These people were not only talented at creating personalities, they were also just simply entertaining people, or I guess they wouldn't have been in show business.
There were some times where he let loose and just had some fun. A couple examples. On The Great Wishy Was, he played this flamboyant German guy that speaks in rhyme all the time. He did a wonderful job on that.
You want books? Ha! We've got books on hairy otters, on onions, and on Mars. All the fungus you could care for, plus 3 triple zillion stars. We've got books on flossing teeth, plus 3 books on tossing sheep. If we spent our lives just counting books, we'd never get to sleep.
He played Mrs. Klugstoodle in The Spy Who Bugged Me.
Yes?
Here's the calendar you ordered.
Oh, my. Door-to-door delivery. Oh, well, thank you very much, boys.
He also played a Girl Scout, believe it or not, who comes to the door and switch, along with some other accents and stuff. It was fun.
Excuse me.
Mr. Whitaker?
Sorry, I am Ivan Reginald Schnuff from the tax service.
Girl Scout cookies.
No thanks.
When we recorded the show No Way Out, and there's a scene in there where Whit had to squeeze through a window, and we had to get the sound effect of him squeezing through a window, and it didn't seem that funny the first time through, but when we asked for a retake or two, it just seemed like it got funnier every time.
Okay, now you're gonna squeeze through the window, and actually, Whit in the videos weighs about 350 pounds. You're trying to squeeze into a narrow place about a foot wide. So you're squeezing through the window there. Give us that feel, please. Okay, maybe not 300 pounds. Let's try it again, okay?
All right.
One more time, and this time when you squeeze through...
Yes. I'm getting an awful lot of help in here, I'll tell you.
I know. They're room for you,
man. One of the fun things I remember that Paul and I did together, I asked him if he would do my voicemail message for my office at Focus on the Family.
Oh, hi there. This is John Avery Whitaker. Rob's out working on the Imagination Station right now. Why don't you just leave me the message and I'll get it to him?
So I put that on my voicemail, and that was my voicemail message for years. And it just has a lot of meaning for me. I still have the original CD and pull it out and listen to it every once in a while.
Paul was very much into eating healthy, and he loved to walk. I mean, he'd rather walk than take a car any day.
He was in the pool every morning swimming laps.
I enjoy climbing mountains, and he talked about climbing Mount Rainier, which is a pretty big mountain in the Seattle area.
And then several times he would request that we walk to the studio instead of drive.
And we would follow him. I use the word follow because he was like, he was like down the road. You just had you had to run to keep up with that guy.
And on those walks, I got to know Paul very well. We had some great conversations, and I don't remember all of them, but one I do remember was I had just celebrated a birthday. I realized, man, I'm getting old, and but Paul has a few years on me, so I'm going to talk to Paul about this. And I remember what Paul had to say. He said, well, you know, this getting old isn't as bad as it seems. You live one day at a time. He said, oh yeah, some things don't work as well as they used to, but it's okay. And I always appreciated that encouragement from Paul.
Hello, this is Marshall Younger. I was a producer and a writer for the show. One very poignant moment for me was at the 20th anniversary of Odyssey. Paul was not able to make it to Colorado Springs.
But it was nice because they were able to get him from home, you know, and put him up on the big screen.
Anyway, there's like 1,500 people in the audience, and Paul Herlinger comes up on the screen and as Whit, and the crowd just went wild. It was just thunderous applause.
Whit, are you there?
Hi, Johnny. I'd just like to say, let's see if this works.
Hi, Whit. Everyone, say hi. Say hi.
Hi. Hi, Connie. Hi, everyone.
I could see in his eyes that, you know, he never got really that emotional, but there was a moment there where I thought he had a little bit of tears in his eyes because he just appreciated those people so much, and he appreciated how humbling that moment was.
I'd just like to say thank God for all of you who've been such a great part of my family for such a long time. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
And that was actually his last performance as Whit, and I was so glad to leave it on that note.
My dad loved the years that he spent working on Odyssey and playing the role of Whit. He loved what a great group of people you all were. He always had, you know, a smile on his face and a twinkle in his eye when he would refer to any of the interactions, and he experienced everyone as being so warm, so loving, so caring, now that my father has passed away, just the way folks here at Odyssey have reached out to our family, the comments that have appeared on the website have meant so much to our family. And I think that really explains why my father had such a great time with all of you here, because you were all so good to him.
He was asked the question, what does Odyssey mean to you? And he said that it was the most gratifying thing he's ever done in his career.
Without hesitation, he said, the number one thing I loved to do more than anything was playing Wit. He loved playing Wit more than anything else he ever did.
And to single our show out was so humbling and such a compliment. And I think it points to the fact that he realized how much of an impact he had had on people. And I'm so glad that he realized that before he's gone.
I think what's most important about the legacy of Odyssey is the value of the stories. The value of the stories being good, family-oriented stories, stories that had strong moral issues, being a character on a program that has that kind of value that makes a lot of difference.
My father was very grateful for his life and felt that it was a very fulfilled life. Died very peacefully because he knew he'd had a good life. You know, it just makes me feel a certain peace to know that here he was lying in his own bed, in his own home, listening to his favorite music, not in pain, and drifting away into God's hands.
Well, you'll always be a part of our family. It's been a real honor to work with you through the years. We're going to miss you a lot.
Well, thank you, and it's been, I think it's been one of the highlights of my own life. And Odyssey and Focus will always be a good part of my past life.